Kate Mihalonis is currently the communications manager for Salt Lake City's Division of Sustainability, where she manages outreach activities for the division. She's previously managed the city's prestigious Climate Showcase Communities grant, where she implemented a series of social marketing outreach programs to encourage residents to drive less, drive smarter, in order to reduce vehicle pollution and help improve air quality along the Wasatch Front. Before coming to Salt Lake City, Ms. Lonis worked for the Salt Lake Valley Health Department as a public information specialist and risk communications coordinator. In addition to her media relations and emergency communications duty, she pioneered the department's social media program in late 2008, which quickly expanded to include Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Flickr, and a variety of other outlets. Under her leadership, the trailblazing program gained national attention from government agencies, conferences, and news media alike. She's a graduate of St. Catharines University, and she holds a Bachelor's of Science in Communication Studies. So with that, I'll turn it over to you, Kate.
Great. Thank you, Emma. And hello, everyone. I'm very happy to be here to share our experiences at the local level. So as Emma mentioned, I work for Salt Lake City Green, or SLC Green, which is the outreach arm of Salt Lake City's Division of Sustainability and the Environment. Our approach to the field of sustainability is quite broad as we look at sustainability factors across all aspects of government and community, from air quality and climate change to food production, all the way to education, as you see there on the screen. So today, I'm going to speak about one of our programs that was a program that we ran for several years called the Clear the Air Challenge. And the Clear the Air Challenge is a month-long competition that challenges Utahns to drive less and drive smarter, to help reduce vehicle trips and miles, reduce vehicle emissions with that end goal of reducing greenhouse gases and helping to improve our air quality in the valley. So in the interest of continuity, I structured this presentation around the communications framework that Emma presented earlier and that you've been hearing about. So starting with objectives, ours were very clear. We wanted to promote alternative transportation, which included public transit, walking, biking, carpooling, all the way to teleworking strategies that result in fewer vehicle trips and miles. The common language that we settled on, which was very important, and I'll talk more about that in a moment, was to improve our air quality. Our region is in non-attainment status with the EPA for PM2.5 particulate matter pollution, specifically in the wintertime. So that was a very common emphasis and a common ground and a language that we found that everyone, it really permeated all of our demographics and our stakeholder groups. So our efforts also would reduce greenhouse gas emissions and to initiate long-term behavior change specific to transportation habits. So I want to mention our partners, TIBA, at this point because they were very instrumental in designing the Clear the Air Challenge. It was a group that was made up of professionals from different stakeholder groups, including local and state government, business, nonprofit, and faith-based organizations. The partners team really provided the vision for the project and made the important high-level decisions about program design, scope. They were the group that we worked very hard on finding what common language we were going to use together and the common ground between a wide variety of groups that came from different backgrounds and had different opinions about how we should address the air quality problem. So the partners team was also a very helpful tool and an important tool for spreading the word about the challenge, and it turned out to be an incredibly effective strategy for us. Because they had helped create the Clear the Air Challenge, they had a vested interest in helping it to succeed. And they were able to activate their existing networks, and we were able to tap into those organizations as trusted sources to spread the word and drive our participation in the program. Throughout the 4 years of the Clear the Air Challenge, our target audience shifted around a bit, and we did that on purpose to year bring in new participants and to keep the challenge momentum going. So, for example, our original target audience had a large emphasis on the green community and the active community, and geographically, residents living in Salt Lake City. So as the challenge grew year to year, that audience expanded to include our county, Salt Lake County, cities all along the Wasatch Front, which face the same air quality problems, Provo, Ogden area, the business community. Just through our experience year to year with the challenge, the business community turned out to be a very important one for us and became such an important stakeholder in our efforts that they actually have now taken over running the Clear the Air Challenge. Our Salt Lake Chamber now runs it. And Utah Moms, which is actually the image that you see on the screen, is from one of our kickoff events. This one was specifically for the 2012 Clear the Air Challenge that was targeted to engage the mommy blogger community. So through some surveying that we had done of our Salt Lake County population, this was an audience that was identified as having a strong interest in improving air quality for some very obvious reasons related to family security, family health, family safety and stability. And they also had the ability to make small changes in their travel habits. They often, this target group would have a lot of voluntary, non-commuter-based trips, have the opportunity to carpool, consolidate trips, skip voluntary trips in their daily life. So as a way to reach out to this demographic, we partnered with our local mommy blogger community and hosted a really fun event at Hogle Zoo. We had a kickoff ceremony with our community leaders. The governor was there. Our local mayors were there. We gave out prizes and had a fun a coloring contest for the kids. So our efforts resulted in 47 bloggers and 143 family members attending the event. We had a feature story in the Tribune, 16 blog features, and an e-newsletter feature in Today's Mama, which was targeting our audience and sent to 7,500 local subscribers. And that year with the challenge, we also saw an overall increase in unique web visits and our challenge participants and our overall results. We did some surveying of Salt Lake County residents to gauge their understanding of the air quality problem, their perceived barriers, and the benefits to utilizing some of the alternatives to driving alone. And on the screen, I have some of the barriers that we identified that we could, through our voluntary program, work to impact. A lot of the barriers that came back through our surveying process had to do with infrastructure, which through this voluntary program and as the city, we didn't have direct control over public transit infrastructure, for example. So that was information we had to pass along to the appropriate agency. So we had to focus on the ones that we could work with. And also have some of the challenges that this campaign faced are similar to campaigns across the board, capturing people's attention, getting them to change, and then keeping them on that path. So key messages, this kind of just scratches the surface because throughout the run of the Clear the Air Challenge, year to year, depending on our audience, we tweaked our messaging to include messages that resonated with our target audiences. I gave the example of the kind of value messaging that worked for our Utah mom demographic. A good example also is for the business community, we use a tagline of make air quality your business and tapped into some of the business best practices and the bragging rights, I guess, that businesses were able to get through participating in the challenge. We also placed an emphasis on positive messaging, empowering messaging related to, you know, everyone has a role to play, we're part of the solution, and did some messaging experimentation with one of our winter emails. We actually tested out three different messages. One was health-based. One emphasized choice, and one emphasized empowerment. And this was done through a targeted email that went out to segmented parts of our email list. And the empowerment messaging won handily in terms of click-throughs to the website and our engagement statistics. So we were able to see that effectiveness and to take that forward with us. So I want to take a few minutes to highlight some of our program features that we designed into the program for a very specific reason. The first is the website, and this is where all of our efforts to promote the program focused on directing people, because this is one where they could get more information, but more importantly, this is where we tracked our success. So we used the tracker, which was borrowed from the Utah Department of Transportation's TravelWise program. And this is where our participants track the trips and miles they saved by using alternatives to driving alone. And you can see the different options that they were able to use on the screen. So also on the bottom of the screen, the tracker would take that information and translate it into total trips, miles, emissions reduced, and that's total emissions including greenhouse gas, energy saved, and money saved in terms of resources and total vehicle costs. We also built incentives into the program to help drive engagement and provide a reason for our participants to keep coming back to the website to track, which turned out to be kind of the biggest, one of our big hurdles and one of the complaints that we would get is having to go back to the website and track. So we built some incentives in to keep the motivation going. So every week when people signed up, initially when they signed up, they very clearly set goals for how many trips they would reduce week to week. So every week they met that goal, they were entered into a random prize drawing, and we promoted the names of our winners. And then at the end of the challenge, grand prizes were awarded in a ceremony that the news media and our community leaders, our mayors, the governor would attend. And then you also see on your screen, it's a screenshot of the results page, which was very important, I think, to the success of the program. On our website, we had our results page, which showed the real-time results and our combined impact of what we had done so far. So every time you would refresh the page during the run of the challenge, the numbers would go up. So, and also on that results page, a little lower down was our leaderboard, which displayed who was on top, who is winning the challenge in terms of individuals, teams, and companies. So this really helped to keep that competitive fire going. Our really competitive teams would be refreshing the page often to see where their standing was and to size up the competition and to motivate their team members to try harder and to get to that website to track their impact. And this also allowed us to the real-time results allowed us to modulate our messaging accordingly if we were on track, if we were a little bit behind where we wanted to be. So as I alluded to earlier, we engaged a variety of stakeholders and community leaders to take the challenge, really banking on accessing their credibility and their reach to help spread the word. And this is a screenshot of a video that we took that profiled one of our community leaders, Kyle LaMalfa's commitment. It just followed him, it profiled him with him making a commitment to reduce his vehicle trips. And he was a founder of a market in Salt Lake City, and actually this is several years old because he's now the chair of our Salt Lake City Council. We really used every tool we could think of to engage with the community. I've already talked about our partners team and our business community, going to different community events and partnering with as many organizations as we could. We really couldn't spread the word and run this program by ourselves. And community-based social marketing, which you've already heard quite a bit about, emphasizes the importance of the person-to-person communication. So these tools really helped leverage that avenue and leverage the credibility of the different organizations that we worked with. Media relations, never to be forgotten. It was also very critical for us. We hosted news conferences, pitched stories. We invited the media to our community events, and we placed limited advertising and free radio PSAs to spread that word as far as we could. And social media. We had a lot of fun with social media to drive engagement and spread our message through that social sphere. One of the goals of the program was to create a new social norm, so social media was a natural fit for us. And in 2012, we created our first Facebook giveaway to drive some of that enthusiasm and participation. And this was back in the era where Facebook had some pretty restrictive Facebook giveaway rules. So we had to use a third-party app, and they've since changed their policy and made it a whole lot easier to do these kinds of things. So the giveaway was leading up to the start of the challenge. We wanted to create a social buzz, and it was a huge driver for us in terms of page likes and page engagement. People had to like our page first, then they had to sign up for our email notifications, and then they had to share this with their friends. So we really were able to capitalize on networks and the beauty of social media in a way. So this was really great in terms of driving engagement on Facebook. But interestingly enough, we didn't see a significant bump in participants that were tracked directly from Facebook to the registration page of the Clear the Air Challenge. So we did have a nice bump in participation that year, but it's tough to directly link that back to our Facebook efforts. So that's an interesting lesson that we learned about how our efforts right on Facebook kind of stayed on Facebook. Videos, one last social tool that we used, and I showed a screenshot of the profile of Kyle LaMalfa, and we created a whole series related to that of different residents that were committing to make a change in their travel habits and that positive impact that was having on their personal life, the empowerment that they felt, and how and any of the barriers that they were able to overcome personally. And then we also had videos that were seeking to break down some of the barriers to riding public transit, like how-to basic videos. So I want to spend my last few minutes talking about results, because it can be hard to quantify all of your efforts. So I wanted to share what we tracked. And we looked at web data in terms of traffic and geographic reach throughout the state, which is the image of Utah that you see there and the different cities where we received web traffic. We also took a look at our social media statistics and media impressions. We took all of the media stories generated, our unique web visits, and advertising impressions into account. There were also the anecdotal stories and testimonials that we directly received about how the challenge was a transformative experience for them. But in the end, we were able to see both our participants and our total results increase, which was the end goal of all of our efforts. And because a lot of these activities were grant-funded through the Climate Showcase Communities grant through EPA, and because also it was the right thing to do, we tracked our greenhouse gas emissions through reported data on the Clear the Air Challenge website, took a look at UDOT traffic counts, their highway counts during the run of the challenge, and UTA ridership numbers. And that's a quick overview of the outreach strategies that we use related to the Clear the Air Challenge. You can find us at slcgreen.com, and I am happy to answer any questions that come up.
Great. Thank you, Kate. If anyone does have any questions for Kate, they can enter them into GoToWebinar, and we will get to as many of those as we can at the end of the webcast. I'll just say that if anyone's interested in learning more about the Clear the Air Challenge, you certainly visit Salt Lake City's website. Also, as a climate showcase community with EPA, we have some of the tools and resources that they developed to implement their program available at epa.gov/climateshowcase. Including a really great toolkit that Kate helped develop that will walk you through the process of implementing a similar type of program and goes into further detail on how the different elements of community-based social marketing were directly implemented through their program. So before we move into panel discussion, we have one last poll question for everyone. And as Kate mentioned in her presentation, you know, they focus on some specific barriers in Salt Lake City that they were seeing and challenges to getting people to participate and take alternate forms of transportation. So in thinking about how you and your communities are implementing climate and energy programs, what are some of the challenges that you are facing? If you could just take a minute to select all of the options that apply to you and your circumstance, we'd greatly appreciate it. We've listed here lack of capacity and funding, inability to connect with intended audiences, competing values of different audiences, disinterest, and then regulations or lack of incentives. So we'll give everyone a moment to provide their feedback. All right, we can go ahead and pull up the results. So it looks like the most common challenges faced are lack of capacity or funding within organizations. A number of the resources that are available through Climate Showcase Communities and other things we have through our program and the different sources mentioned in the presentations will hopefully provide folks with a leg up for getting implementation off the ground. Other common challenges or disinterest and competing core values and audiences amongst different audiences, and hopefully the presentations today have given some folks ideas of how they might start to tackle those challenges.